You are tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's the KBOO Bike Show with guests Aileen Crotty and Guthrie Straw, who will talk about the upcoming 14th annual Filmed by Bike. It's a film festival featuring the world's best bike movies, May 6th through 8th at the Hollywood Theater. And thanks once again to KBOO members for your great support of community radio. Our membership drive ended last night, and sadly just short of our goal, but that's just should be motivation for you who didn't call during the membership drive. You can call and give your support to help us make that goal right now. Go to kboo.fm. Thanks for doing that. And we have one little announcement to play, and then we'll get to the KBOO Bike Show.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 17th Annual Global Cannabis March and Rally, Saturday, May 7th, from noon to 6 p.m., with the march beginning at 4 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. Nearly 300 cities worldwide will participate in this annual global cannabis event. Locally, this march and rally will feature live music from Garcia Birthday Band, the Hill Dogs, and many more, along with several guest speakers and nonprofit organization booths. Again, that's the 17th Annual Global Cannabis March and Rally, Saturday, May 7th, noon to 6 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square, 701 Southwest 6th Avenue in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW. Also by City Bikes, a worker-owned, cooperatively run, new and used bicycle sales and service shop with two locations on Southeast Ankeny near KBOO. Open 7 days a week for your bicycle commuting needs and online at citybikes.coop.
We were all here for slightly different reasons, but with the same goal in mind, to transect the rugged natural barrier that is the Caucasus Mountains.
Okay, let's go to their theme. We'll try that one.
Hi, you're tuned in to The Bike Show, broadcasting live from the KBOO studios in Southeast Portland, Oregon. I'm Meg Keyes here with fellow co-host Tori Bortman. Tori, how are you this fine spring morning?
Meg, I am so good. I'm so excited about this weather. I'm a little scared of what it means for the summer, but right now I'm really enjoying riding my bike in 75 degree weather. It's nice.
It is great.
You know, what was that music? That wasn't our normal theme song.
It wasn't, and I am so glad that you asked, because I was hoping that our guests today would be able to help us pinpoint the great 1985 bike-focused movie that song came from, because we have the amazing folks from Film by Bike on today. Aileen Crotty and Guthrie Straw will be here to tell us all about the film festival featuring the world's best bike movies happening this weekend in Portland, Oregon, at the Hollywood Theater. Yep, that's May 6th to the 8th.
You know, Meg, it's pretty funny because I was actually listening to TV on the radio on my ride here, because sometimes I ride with headphones in. But today we've got movies on the radio.
We do have movies on the radio.
Yeah, so I'm super excited. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to first introduce Aileen Crotty. She is a bike culture expert and founder of Film by Bike. A film festival that features the world's best bike movies with a big festival in Portland every May. The movie collections then travel the world to build bike community. Aileen founded many of Portland's longstanding bike events, like the Breakfast on the Bridge, Midnight Mystery Rides. She's also the editor of orbike.com, a resource to help people find their next bike adventure. And of course, we are forever indebted to Aileen for being the one of the co-founders of the KBOO Bike Show. Welcome back to the show this morning, Aileen. It's great to have you back.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
And secondly, we are joined by Guthrie Straw, the film coordinator for Film by Bike. Guthrie is an Oregon native who grew up biking in the outdoors of rural Walla Walla County. A bike advocate and film lover, he spends most of his time in Portland working on finding the world's best bike movies and showing folks the wonders of the city via his day job at Cycle Portland. When in town, he enjoys sharing his adventures via www.pedaldream.com. Guthrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So guys, can you tell us what that song was from? Did you?
It sounded so familiar. I cannot
Guthrie?
Place
really?
It.
No?
Yeah.
Come 1985.
On. One of the most famous, and I'll give you a clue. He just came out with another movie.
And there's something, it had to do with bike theft?
Aileen, and...
And it was maybe in
The Beautiful Life.
No.
Big Red Crazy Cruiser.
Oh, Pee-wee.
Yeah.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That's why it sounds so familiar.
Because it's somewhere ingrained in your subconscious forever.
Yeah. Yeah, like I subconsciously think it just plays in my head as I bike through Portland.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming on the show today and telling us about this amazing festival this weekend, which I am really excited about. I had the luck to be a juror on the show or for the festival. So Aileen, tell us a little bit about the festival.
Yeah, so Film by Bike, as you guys mentioned, features the world's best bike movies. And what that means is Guthrie will talk a little bit more about that later on in the show, but we spend our time looking for what those movies are that are out there. And there are a lot of bike movies out there these days. And we bring the best of them to the screen at the Hollywood Theater once a year. And we also have a big festival that goes along with that. So it's not just about watching movies on the screen in the theater, but it's also about getting out in the street and celebrating that we've made it through winter and we've got a summer to ride our bikes, celebrating that we love riding bikes in Portland and the community that surrounds film and biking here in Portland.
So these aren't full-length features like Pee-wee's Big Adventure, though, right?
That's right. We focus on independent films, so films made by individuals that aren't ever going to make it to the big movie houses or the big theaters. And also, we specialize in short films. We've shown some longer films over the years, but what we found our audience totally loves are those really short films that might only be, well, we actually have some that are only a minute long that are amazing. In fact, one film that's only a minute long is up for our top prize this year, the Golden Helmet Award. So that just goes to show you how much you can pack in to a very short period of time and make a great film.
Better one good minute than six torturous ones.
Right. So most of our films are going to be around 5 minutes. In fact, we are showing 59 films throughout the weekend. 59 films, and they're coming from 19 different countries.
That's so amazing. That's really exciting.
Yeah, you know, sometimes in Portland, I feel like we live in a bit of an bubble, an awesome bubble at that. But I really like to think that Film by Bike is an opportunity for us to open everyone up to this whole world that's happening related to cycling. It's not just a thing here in Portland. It really is a piece of global excitement. And we're going to share that on the screen this weekend.
And so 19 different countries, is that like a normal thing, or you know how I mean, like,
you it's
know,
been going on for 14 years. Did you start with 19?
Yeah,
14 years, but at 19 countries. Did you start with 19 countries, or how many were the first fest, if you remember?
The first year we showed, I think, 5 films, all of which were from Portland, except for one we found from San Francisco, one of which was also anonymous. I only recently, in the last couple of years, figured out who the filmmaker was. Just nobody knew. It was one of those kinds of things.
Really? What movie was that?
It was called Bloody Bike Bath 3. It was a horror film about a bike that attacks. As far as we know, there was no Bloody Bike Bath 1 or 2. It was just 3. The horror bike attacking people is a motif we see in bike films. But that was still to this day, I will argue that was one of the best I've ever seen of a horror bike film. And it was amazing. And that was in 2003.
Would it be time to bring that film back?
Yeah, I do want to see if I think we can reshow it. We have an amazing compilation DVD that we put together with Stumptown Printers years ago in 2008. And some of the films on there don't exist elsewhere. So from a historical perspective, it's a really cool compilation of movies that we have there. But yeah, 19 countries represented. That is something we've been seeing over the years. A lot of the work that Guthrie does as our films manager to reach out to filmmakers all around the world has really allowed us to bring in such a diverse collection.
So you said 59 movies, right?
59 movies.
And those aren't all in one go, because if I times 59 times 5, I would be sitting in the Hollywood Theater for a long time.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
So we split it up into 5 different programs of movies, and we theme each program a little bit, especially on Saturday. We've got some great themes going on. So it's an opportunity for people to choose what time works best for them and what they're interested in. And if they just can't decide, they can purchase a VIP festival pass and go see everything. The one different program that we're bringing out, two that are a little bit more unique, on Saturday, we have a whole program devoted to the adventure films, and we can talk more about that because that's a huge theme that we're seeing these days. Really amazing travels on the rugged road. And then on Sunday, we do a special program that's all the really great films the jury loved, but we ran out of time to show. So we do a special screening on Sunday that's for our VIP festival pass holders only. So a really cool exclusive opportunity.
And that's happening somewhere special, right? That's not at the Hollywood?
Right. That's also... We wanted it to be in a smaller venue, so it'd be a little bit more intimate. We'll be bringing in filmmakers who will be talking as well, and Guthrie will be there giving some behind-the-scenes information and talking about what we're seeing in bike movies these days. And so since we wanted a more intimate venue for that, we partnered with Northwest Documentary, and they are the beneficiary of Film by Bike. They are a nonprofit organization that helps people tell their story through filmmaking. They do these amazing documentary workshops. They do their own documentaries. Their most recent film was about a kayak journey down the Green and Colorado Rivers that happened with some French kayakers in the a long time ago, 50s, I want to say. So they do really creative, intriguing work, and we're so proud to be partnering with them. And they're in a new facility right off the bike superhighway of North Williams Avenue. So we're excited to have our screening there, so to give people a chance to see their new facility, their editing suite. They also have an artist-in-residence facility, so people will be able to spend the night there if they're artist-in-residence, work on a film project, stay the night, get up, work in the middle of the night, whatever they want to do. And then they also have a big screening room in there, so that's what we'll be using for our VIP screening on Sunday.
Yeah, the Northwest, it's Northwest Film Documentary Project, right? Is that what it's called?
Northwest Documentary.
Northwest Documentary Project is just amazing. I've known about them kind of peripherally, so this is great that more people are going to get exposed to the work that they do, because it's pretty important and is actually in a lot of ways shaped how Portland looks with and without bikes. And people don't understand how much of our art comes from the Northwest Documentary Center. So
yeah, and you know, these days storytelting has become such an interest among people. And I think it's great, because back in the early days, storytelling was how people recorded their history. Everything was very oral history was the way it was before there was verbal or written. And nowadays we're reclaiming this idea of storytelling, and it's coming in different forms. We see a lot of shows like The Moth Storytell and, you know, on stage storytelling. What Northwest Documentary is doing is helping people get those same stories out, but doing it with film. And they work really closely with all their students to make sure that the students walk away with a really good finished product, and they really help them finalize those pieces. I've been to some of their screenings of student work, and it's super cool. There's some really great stuff that they're
doing. Yeah, it's amazing what is coming out of people's minds, and especially people who are coming up. I think it's one of the best ways to understand different generations by seeing their stories and connect with people. So you've got a lot of movies, and you had to narrow those down. I know Meg said that she was a juror. What did that entail, and how did that work, and How did you participate in helping?
Yeah, we got to watch a bunch of movies one weekend, which was nice.
Do you know how many movies they watched altogether, Aileen, out of the 59 you chose?
A lot. I can't remember. Maybe 60?
Yeah, I don't know. It was like a Friday night and a Sunday.
Wait, 60 movies out of, but 59 were chosen?
Yeah, so it must have been more than that. And there were even more they didn't get a chance
to see. Yeah, I was
going to
say, there's some that we didn't see at all. And I noticed that when we went to Bike Bingo, there were some clips where I was like, what's that? Mm-hmm. I want to see that. I was curious, too, because I mean, what we got to watch was really great. And I was like, you know, it was hard to be a juror to pick through, you know, like there was nothing glaringly terrible when we were watching it. And I was just curious.
Really?
Like, the process.
Really nothing?
It was pretty amazing.
It was
really
pretty good, honestly.
This was the first year where we didn't have a ton of movies. Where usually we like to find that film that's so bad it's good. And I love to show the jury a breadth of films and quality and styles and whatnot. And this year, it was the jury actually said, when are you going to show us the stuff that's cruddy?
Yeah.
And it just wasn't, I mean, we were...
That bodes well for the festival then, if we're seeing really literally the cream of the crop.
Yeah, and Guthrie and his team of volunteers worked tirelessly all fall to just really look for the best movies, and we got them in. I mean, we got a great collection this year.
Yeah. Guthrie, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure.
Since we haven't gotten to hear from you.
Yeah, not a problem. So starting in September or so is when we usually start to go out, and we do have a really core group of volunteers who are interested in participating with the festival early on in the season of things. And so basically, with the growth of the internet and with the growth of being able to post things to sites such as YouTube and Vimeo, it's really opened up the door in terms of exposure for what's out there. So our goal, and one of them, is to go through, and we get a lot of submissions to the festival, but it's also to look at, talk and communicate with people and touch base with folks who maybe haven't heard about the festival before, but would be interested it once they know about it. And so with that, we go and just encourage people to submit, because through that and through viewing just a very, very large volume of videos, I probably watched...
So you actually know how many came in that were then handed to the jury. So how many...
We got a couple hundred submissions, so it was quite a large group this year. It does vary each year, but the trend has been upward in that. And as filmmaking gets more democratic in terms of the cost associated with making films, we have only seen a growth in that over the years.
So Aileen said overall the quality's gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
What's the variance? Like last year, I remember there was just like a film, and it was probably one of the, it wasn't the Golden Helmet Award, but it was one of the favorites, was just somebody YouTubing somebody else riding a bike with a goat on their back.
Oh, yeah.
And is there anything of that kind of just like caught off the cuff quality in this year's movies?
I would say...
Or is it a little more produced?
I would say this year it's a little bit more produced. There were definitely some of those films which were submitted just based on the jury process and a couple of other factors. They're not in the final programming. And that's not to say that they're not good, but you've got to sort of make a choice somewhere down the line.
The goat was really special.
There was no goat moment this year for Filmed by Bike.
I don't remember goats in the jury.
But
we love having every year a little something different. Mm-hmm. You know, this year the theme is really just that all the movies are super high quality, and we've got this adventure theme that we'll talk more about. And last year we thought it'd be fun to slot in that movie. It was one of those movies that just got people giggling. In fact, it went by so quickly. It was such a short clip. We showed it twice in a row to kind of make sure people saw it and could appreciate it for its quirky quality.
Mm-hmm. Another sort of interesting trend in a lot of films that we're getting this year is that aerial shots, so the art of filmmaking, we like to focus a lot on the art of storytelling as well, and so it's interesting to see the intersection between folks that have the tools but also folks that are able to use those tools. And so shots where back in the 80s or the 90s you'd need a helicopter.
I'm not a huge fan of drones in general. The word drone just does not bode anywhere.
It's not the most it's a bit of an off-putting phrase, depending on your association with
it. There's a lot of associations, but I think one of the best associations with drones are the aerial photography. Mm-hmm. I mean, just what...
It's opened up a whole new world.
And it's beautiful to see our world from a perspective that we've never been really able to see it from unless somebody had a helicopter or a plane or you think about, like, I don't know, an event like Mount St. Helens blowing. And there was one guy in a plane who happened to be up there who has all the pictures. But if that was happening again today, you know that somebody would be somewhere near there, hopefully not too close, with their drone. And it's just completely,
Yeah, and the trick is taking those drone shots and combining them with other methods to tell a compelling story. Because with this technology, there's sort of a bit of a race to, you know, who can use the most this or the most that. And if you can't tell a compelling story with that, it still doesn't always end up being the best film. And so for Film by Bike,
bells and whistles aren't everything.
Exactly. But it's great to have, but it's also great to see so many quality submissions this year that are using those new tools in a very compelling fashion.
Oh, I'm so excited for this weekend. You guys are getting me super jazzed to get.
I'm excited too. So I think the first thing we can figure out first is, like, if someone wants to go get tickets now, because they're like, wait, I'm excited. How do they get about that?
We have tickets for sale on our website. That's filmedbybike.org. And if you, on the main page, you can see the schedule and look through and see what looks interesting. I'll tell you, they're all a great mix of movies. So people often ask me, well, which one should I go to? They're all just a really great mix of movies. You won't be disappointed by any of them. They're all about the same length. Friday's a fun day to go because that's when we have our festival street party. And we kick things off at Velo Colt Bike Shop and Tavern, which is just about a block away. And we'll have a big festival there. And then the movies play at the theater. So people can buy tickets online. They can also buy tickets at the box office while tickets are still available. And our box office usually opens about an hour before the movie times. And that's right there at the Hollywood Theater in the Hollywood District.
Can we talk a little bit more about that festival? Because it sounds kind of festival street party. What does that end up looking like?
It's awesome, especially this year because the weather is looking fantastic. So we take over the back parking lot behind Velo Colt Bike Shop and Tavern right there in the Hollywood District, and we set up a large main stage sponsored this year by Amtrak. They're really excited to get more people on the train, bringing their bikes to cool destinations and going exploring. So they really wanted to be a part of all this year. We've got a lineup of entertainment that includes DJ Walk coming up from San Francisco as our house DJ. We've got the Working Story Collective doing a short theater performance on stage. We're also going to have a burlesque group doing burlesque and circus arts, including some sword dancing and other really cool acts on stage. And the Unipiper, the guy that you may have seen around Portland who rides a unicycle and plays the bagpipes, he is going to come join us for a little performance at the street party, and then he's going to lead a procession to the theater and join us on stage inside the theater. So that's going to be great.
And at which showing is that? Is that the 7?
That's right before the 7 o'clock show. Yep.
So is that the only showing on Friday?
There's also a 9 o'clock show on Friday. Two shows on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And so is there food and drink at the street party as well?
Yeah, it's great. In addition to all the live entertainment, we've got tons of other things going on all simultaneously because I really like this concept of just organized chaos and so much excitement happening. So we've got Portland's best Indian food cart, Desi PDX. The chef there is a longtime supporter of the bike community.
Which is what we had during the jury sampling.
Yes.
And it was amazing.
He's so excited to be there. He just sent me his menu today. So there'll be Indian food for munching on. We've got New Belgium Brewery. They've been involved for 13 years. They're an awesome company to work with. And they are going to be there pouring a variety of beers. We've also got some lawn games, hula hoopers, double dutch, mini bike races, a huge photo booth where people can go in and get their picture taken with the Film My Bike pinata made by our own Meg Keys. Thank you, Meg. It looks really great. If you follow Meg on Instagram, you can see a photo of that. It's really cool. And if you follow us on Instagram, we'll have a picture up later. And then also, Northwest Documentary is coming to the street party, and they are setting up a booth we developed that is called the Bike Confessional. It's a chance for you to go inside the booth and tell your deepest, darkest bicycle secrets or just a fun story on camera. So we then edit those down and archive them. We're really recording this important time in bicycle history and capturing that on camera. So we've got a lot of great stories from previous years, and we'll have the storytelling booth there again this year, organized by Northwest Documentary. So lots of really fun stuff going on at the street party. It's completely free and it's all ages. So we encourage you
to
just
be my next
swing
question.
By, check
is
it out.
Are both showings family friendly, and is the street party family friendly?
Yeah, it's all ages to get into the theater, and the there's no nudity, there's really no violence, and there is a little bit of profanity and some adult topics such as drinking too much beer. So it depends on you and your family and how you want to approach that subject. But really, it's a really nice, diverse mix of films. And the theater is all ages for both shows, 7 and 9 o'clock. And the street party is open to everyone. You can just swing on by and check it out. Even if you're not going to the movies, just come see what we've got going on down there. It's really just a lot of fun. And we love being in the Hollywood neighborhood. So cool there.
It is really great. And so how long have you been at the Hollywood Theater? Has it always been for the last 14 years?
This is our second year there. And we started at a micro theater in Northeast Portland that no longer exists. It was called La Palabra Cafe Press, and it was a tiny theater. And then in our third year, we moved to the Clinton Street Theater. And that really became an important rock for us. They gave us so much support to get going. The city gave us a ton of support in crafting our street party. It was the city of Portland. That was their idea.
Because in that case, you actually closed a street down, right?
Right. We closed the street directly in front of the theater. We had to reroute a TriMet bus and put in bike parking. And all of that was the city of Portland's idea. They came to us and said, you should just do a street party because your crowds are so big, they're spilling out over the sidewalk. It's no longer safe. But they gave us so much support. They helped us fund our bike parking in those early years and all of that. So we really felt like we had this great community rallying around us. And the Clinton Street Theater was amazingly supportive, and they allowed us to grow and flourish as a festival. I mean, for me, I've always had a very busy day job, and Film by Bike was a side project. I was doing that on top of my 60 hours a week job. And so to have other groups and volunteers coming in and supporting was extremely important. And then the Hollywood Theater came to us a few years ago. They've really started to get creative with their programming. They're doing some amazing work over there. And they knew about Film by Bike, and they knew what we were doing. And they said, we really want what you're doing to be a part of what we're doing. And we sat down and talked about it and realized that the type of festival that we have planned, that's because it's more than just being about bike movies, that it's got the whole festival atmosphere and other activities that go along with it, like a bike ride and other things we can talk about. The Hollywood said, you know, that's what we want to be supporting. And so we talked a little further about it and realized that it was a great fit to move to the Hollywood Theater. They've been so supportive. They are able to bring a lot to the event. And it's such a beautiful historic theater. It's just really an honor to show our movies there.
Yeah, if you haven't been there, Hollywood has done an incredible amount of work, all based on memberships, just like KBOO. And just like the Northwest Documentary Project, it's not all volunteer run, but there's a lot of volunteers that make what happen. And it was all through donations that the Hollywood Theater was able to do what it's doing. And I think what's so special and what makes Film by Bike such a great fit for them is they don't just say, oh, hoity-toity, nose in the air, we're going to show art films, or hey, we've got beer, so that's what makes films fun. They have these themes and ideas. They have grindhouse nights. They have nights where you can talk at the theater. They've invested in some really expensive and unique cameras that don't exist anywhere else. That's why the Quentin Tarantino's Hateful Eight was able to be shown there in the film format it was filmed in. And it was one of like five theaters that had the full format. And Hollywood is just really creative that way. And I feel like they've become between them and fortuitously for you, that Velo Cult's a block away.
Yeah.
And they
quite
those
convenient.
And those two places just have done a great job, and both of them have a focus of building community.
In fact, the Hollywood Theater's membership program, first off, it's super cool. If you're at a certain level, you get free popcorn every time you go in, so I always go for that level. But it's a really great membership program, and it's so strong and vibrant that theaters all around the nation contact them on a regular basis to ask them how they run their membership program because theirs is so successful. So it's a cool theater to be involved in. I can't say enough good things about them. And really, for me, a lot of what it's all about is the fact that we are bicycle riders. There was a time when it was hard to get respect as a bicycle rider. And now we're at a celebrated theater that's beautiful and historic and showing our films on the big silver screen. And I feel like we've really come a long way and super exciting.
It sure is super exciting. This has been a really great conversation thus far. We're going to take a break, so don't touch those pre-programmed buttons. We'll be back with more about the great movies happening this weekend at the Hollywood Theater for Film by Bike. Stay with us. Welcome back to the KBOO Bike Show. We are being joined today with the folks behind Film by Bike, Aileen Crotty and Guthrie Straw.
Yay. So we had another little clip from a very famous and well-known bike movie. Do either of you know which one that came from?
That would be Triplets of Bellevue.
Yeah.
Belleville.
Do we get prizes?
Yes. Oh. Yes. High fives for me.
I get 9/10 of a prize. I got almost all the letters.
Yes, that was fun pulling this music together. Yeah. And it was kind of also like, I'm sure Guthrie, you've been watching lots and lots of movies. And
oh, yeah.
Maybe over and over again, a few of them.
Yeah, I've probably, for everything that's in the festival, I've probably watched it about 5 times through by now.
Okay, so of that, what are you the most excited about with this show?
Oh, gosh.
Or with this festival?
So for every showing, there's one or two films that just really speak, I think, both to myself, but also it's just, there's some really fantastic stuff in there. Yeah. If I had to pick one showing, like, I honestly couldn't, because each of those has those gems, but I particularly like, there's one that we just got in at the very end of the submissions period, which focuses on a cycling team in Rwanda, and I won't spoil too much, but it's a very powerful, special film.
Yeah, I just got chills because I remember watching that on the jury, and like, it was really...
And is that the full length of that film, or is it...
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll say, you know, bike racing is not necessarily my thing, and if you're thinking, oh, I'm not really into racing, I'll give you just the quick teaser. There's a line in there where the guy says, or the filmmaker says, that the main guy in the film joined the team because he thought it was going to be a great way to raise money for his family, because his family was really economically depressed. And he thought, I'll join this bike racing team and raise a little money. But what he got out of it was something completely different. And that's all I'll say.
And I think that that's the beauty of the having the 19 countries is that, like, you know, in the U.S., when you think of bike racing, it's something totally different in other countries and other places around the world. And I think as well, like, you know, the reasons why we're cycling are changing and evolving. And I know you mentioned the adventure biking and that, how that is growing. And even when we were talking about the drones, I remember there was some really amazing footage of, like, aerial shots of, like, the just, you know, yeah, mountain biking and, like, trail riding. And there's one trail riding one that I'm really excited to re-see that, you know, because of the aerial shots, it was just so gorgeous. And it's also this angle where you're like, oh, that's what people look like when they're doing that. Yeah, I want to go do that.
I think one of the really cool things about the application of aerial to adventure programming and also to filmmaking is when you know, with the width of the camera that you see, like, whether it's 1920 by 1080 or et cetera, you get into dimensions, but it doesn't capture the full experience of being there. And that's where aerial filming really comes into the play. So particularly for Adventure Night programming, lots of great stuff in there.
And can you tell me what you mean by adventure? Because adventure could mean a lot of things. An adventure,
and it does.
Could just be like going to join a race team. That could be your own adventure. So what do you guys mean by adventure? How are you defining that a little bit?
Adventure programming is things that take you outside of your direct environment. And so it's a lot of outdoor-related programming.
Is it most cycling outdoors?
Yes. I guess I'd say out of the urban environment. Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of films that are related to people going on grand adventures. And we see this in all areas. People are hiking more than ever and going out. I mean, if you're an Instagram person, you can see all sorts of really cool shots of people going out and having adventures. I think, you know, everything's at our fingertips these days, right? We could buy whatever we want from Amazon, find whatever information we want on the internet for the most part. People want more than that. Their lives, they're desiring more. So they're going out and having really interesting adventures. The whole van life movement, people hopping in a van and going around the country. We're seeing more and more of this, and we're definitely seeing it in cycling. Now, what gets me excited about the cycling aspect is it's hard. People are carrying all their personal gear. They're going out to remote places with limited resources. They're using only their body power to get around. And then what's even better for Film by Bike is we've got filmmakers who are packing film equipment on top of that.
Which is hard and scary.
Yeah, and
as
expensive.
Someone whose partner is a photographer, it's like it's really easy. One fall and your camera's ruined. Your
right.
$4,000 camera is... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these guys are, you know, guys and gals are doing this, and they are documenting these journeys that then they bring back and edit in these beautiful pieces that do tell stories. And now we get to experience it. Now, I may not ever go out to some of these. I probably won't go to most of these really remote, rugged places, but we can sit in the theater and lose ourselves in it mm-hmm. and experience it. And that there's so much heart and soul behind that. And it's got me really excited that this is a trend we're seeing in movies, and it's a trend we're seeing in bike movies. And mm-hmm. and I love it. The films are gorgeous. So to see them on the silver screen in their full format is just beautiful.
And I think we actually have some audio clip, like one audio clip that we could play of one of the, I believe it's one of the Adventure Night films.
Which one is it?
Yes, we have
the Trail to Kazbegi.
Yeah, the Trail to Kazbegi by Joey Schuessler out of Boulder, Colorado. So let's play the first clip from him.
Yeah.
We were all here for slightly different reasons, but with the same goal in mind, to transect the rugged natural barrier that is the Caucasus Mountains. Our route would take us from the quaint mountain town of Omalo, tucked deep within the Tushetti Wilderness, along the Russian border of Dagestan and Chechnya, to one of Georgia's most iconic and renowned places, Kazbegi.
Supposedly one of the most dangerous roads in the world. Every time you're on one of those.
So, do you guys want to tell us a little bit about this one? I mean, I actually, like, I didn't watch the full clip
because
I want to save it for this weekend.
I know, that's good. Well, Joey Schuess was super cool. He's a really neat filmmaker out of Boulder, Colorado. He loves to ride his bike. He says he learned at a young age that his bike was more than just something for fun. It was something that could take him places. And now as an adult and a filmmaker, he's using his bike to go to amazing rugged places. This is the second film we've seen from Joey Schuessler. He had an award-winning film in our festival last year. And this film, he goes on this journey to Kazbegi with a bunch of riding buddies, one of whom speaks the language, so they're able to get around. And then they have crazy adventures along the way, so I don't want to spoil too much of what happens. But one part that really strikes me is... you know, it's great to explore, and a lot of us have that urge to find places that have, you know, undiscovered places that have never been seen before. And these guys know that people have been to where they're going before, but they wonder and speculate that probably no one has ever been there on a bicycle. So they're going down these amazing trails on cliff sides and having this incredible journey through this beautiful landscape that is beautiful, but it's also very, very, very hard. It's a very hard journey that they take. And Joey really captures that in this film. And it's just an incredible film. He's such a neat person, and he's got such a neat perspective on things. And I love that he's a skilled rider, and his riding friends are skilled riders as well. So we're able to see that perspective as well, just to see people really, you know, if you're into mountain biking and off-road riding, they're crushing it out there. Like, they are pulling some really cool moves, and they're riding with such grace. And they're also taking us on a pretty incredible journey. It's a beautiful film. It's, to me, it's one of the highlights of the festival this year. I'm really excited to be showing it.
And so for the Adventure Night, which is Saturday?
Saturday. It's the 8 p.m. show on Saturday.
Okay. And then is it how many movies are in that?
I think we have about 10 films or 8 to 10 films.
Yeah, right around there.
And they're all films that are adventure loosely defined, but it's people going to the extremes with the power of their bike and their legs, getting them there, often going to remote, rugged places that aren't usually traveled by bicycle. Mm-hmm. So very, very inspiring films. You know, what I like to think is it's May, so we can watch films of these people doing these grand adventures on their bikes and then think about locally, where might I go on my bike? Maybe I'm not going to go to Kazbegi, but maybe I'm going to ride out to Oregon City or something, or can be. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity for people to see these journeys, get inspired, and think about what more they're going to do on their bikes this summer.
Yeah. So Guthrie, what, you know, like you had mentioned the one highlight earlier, like, mm-hmm. do you have any others that you can think of that you're like really, or like,
sure,
excited about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about all of them. I think it's a great run for this year. There is another one, I believe it's during the Adventure Night program, which is a little less, you know, highly produced, but it tells a really cool story. And we're talking a little bit about places where people can't really get out to and see on an everyday basis. But what we have is this family and their films called Cycling and Wild Camping in China. And so if you picture taking yourselves, and maybe you have two kids, I believe their daughters are right around 4 and 7. And it's this family with two trailers, literally just going day by day.
Are they Chinese?
No, they're from Europe, I believe from Switzerland, but I need to double check that.
I think they're Swiss.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's...
Because it's hard to get into China.
It is a... you know, definitely there's... It's up and coming. I've seen a lot of times, at least in terms of the bicycling touring circle, that it's
starting.
Getting more popular.
Yeah. There's a lot... China's huge. It's got a lot of land
huge.
To explore.
It's got these amazing scenes of, you know, hitting the monsoon season. There's floods around, and they are, you know, taking bamboo rafts across these flooded out drainages. And then when the bikes don't fit, they're carrying them across as well. And so if you picture, you know, yourself, but then you picture bringing your family along for this year-long
journey.
I can't
really picture my dog, let alone my four-year-old,
yep,
on a raft.
Exactly.
Like, that's...
You know, and they're
raft and trailers. I really hope that I'm going to see life jackets, but I'm guessing I won't.
Yeah. No, probably not. But it's really cool. It's just sort of getting out there to, you know, on both ends of the spectrum, it is possible to get out and experience any facet of life via the bicycle, no matter how old you are or how young you are in this case.
And what one of the things I love about this film is because they've brought their children along, they have these really tender moments with the locals, because there's the innocence of children. People warm up to them and they're not making judgments about anything, you know, you weird people on bicycles or anything like that. But we see these moments in the film where the children are playing with local children and local people are tending to their children and just hanging out with them. And they're having these exchanges that don't necessarily involve language and language barriers and all that. And to me, that's the beauty of bicycle travel. It opens us up to the world. You're more vulnerable when you're on a bike, but you're also more approachable. And this film really draws a lot of that out. I just love it. It's a great piece.
And so, as like from the 14 years of doing this, how have you seen it? How have you seen the movies evolve? Like, is it less, you know, spandex, less chamois, more, you know, families, more, you know, bike packing, mm-hmm. you know, less racing? Like, you know, or has there been a theme or growth?
There's definitely themes. There's also definitely trends. So one of the big trends we'll see, and I think it's going to continue, is the trend of fat biking. Whereas, you know, if you go 5 years back, people were like, what? Unless you happen to live, you know.
And for our listeners who don't know, can you explain that?
Yes. So a fat bike is a bike with particularly large tires. If you picture the biggest tire that you can get in a normal bike, you get up to just about an inch and a half of a expansion. And fat bikes start at about 4 inches. So if you can picture a 4-inch wide tire, and then they go from there. So with that, it really opens up, and we were talking about biking places with the Trail to Kazbegi, where they're not on fat bikes, but fat bikes are a means to open up places that were previously unexplorable via that method, and really get the doors open on it. So that's a big trend. More people are getting fat bikes, riding fat bikes, making videos about that. And so we'll see that. And then there's also a pretty good one in there that takes a counterpoint to that trend. So I think there's a good balance within the festival, especially on the Saturday night or the Friday night programming.
Yeah, we've got some fun films in the mix as well.
Yeah. What do you mean by like a counter to the fat bike? Like what? Just like the tiniest wheels in the world or?
Oh, it talks about so this person happens to already be over fat bikes and they're on to the next thing and just talking about I won't spoil it, but it's a good bit of fun poking at fat bikes, in a comedic sense, but also a pretty funny video as well.
Nice. What other trends have you seen? We kind of talked about early on, it was a little less edited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember early on, it seemed like there was a lot more storytelling in a fictional way.
Like a scripted,
yes.
Scripted piece.
And yeah. Now it's more storytelling about real life adventure. Would you say that you've seen the same trend?
A little bit, yeah. And in some ways that's easier because you're on the journey, finding actors and all that can be difficult. Though we do have a really great scripted story this year called Toof out of the UK about a bike thief. And it's a really nicely done film.
I remember last year they had, what was it? It was something about tandems. Riding a tandem.
Tandem bikes are better than IKEA, or worse than IKEA.
Worse than IKEA.
Worse than IKEA. By local filmmaker Mike Vogel.
And it was great. That was a scripted one that was super well done and hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's filmmaker Mike Vogel. He is a longtime contributor to Film by Bike, and he actually makes his films with our audience in mind because he knows what's going to get the laughs. So he definitely pulls out all the perfect punches for his films. We don't have one from him this year, but he comes back year to year with this really great stuff. But, you know, in the early days, we saw things like trail riding on my mountain bike with a camera, and we saw BMX trick riding and the beautiful fixie trick riding in an urban setting with a blinged out bicycle, and films that were cool to watch and fun, but they didn't necessarily have that heart behind them. I think that's the biggest change we're seeing, is the films that are coming to the screen have a lot more heart behind them. It's not just fluff, though some fluff is great too. Don't get me wrong. That's good entertainment and, you know, eye candy. But we are seeing a lot more heart. We're seeing more polished pieces, and we are, again, seeing the more international audience. So much so that this year we launched a new award called the Local Award, and it's presented by the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. And this is an award that we've put in place to honor local filmmakers because they are the ones that got us to where we are today. And we're hoping that this award will spark and inspire more local filmmaking of the bicycle variety, because we realize that it's cool to have 19 countries represented, but we only have a few from Portland. It used to be that 80% of our films came from Portland. So we want to help inspire that. We know there's a huge filmmaking community here in Portland. So the filmmakers are out there. It's just a matter of getting them inspired to create work for the festival.
And can you take a moment to explain the awards? Like, so what do, you know, like if I submitted a video or a movie, and do I just get a trophy? Yeah. What's the deal?
So it's really our filmmakers that submit are mostly excited just to have their films on the screen. Film by Bike features the world's best bike movie, so that alone is a great accolade. But then also our films travel the world. So our filmmakers know that they could create this movie that they're inspired, a piece of artwork that they're inspired to do, and then it's going to have a much broader audience because it comes through Film by Bike, and we help get the movie out there broadly. But within that, we do have some special awards, and every May at the festival, we do a big awards ceremony. That's going to be on Saturday following the Adventure Night program at 8 p.m. We have our top prize is the Golden Helmet Award presented by Travel Oregon, and that Golden Helmet Award honors the top film of the festival, and there are two runners-up. It's a cash prize plus some super cool trophies we had made this year. I think they look really sweet. And then we also have another award that is the Independent Music Award. That's presented by Radio Room, the bar and restaurant in Alberta. They love super good music, so they wanted to get involved in this award that honors the filmmaker who makes the best use of independent music. So what we've seen over the years with this award is filmmakers and musicians collaborating. So the musicians creating, often creating the music just for that film, and they collaborate together. We've seen people collaborating across states, using the internet to swap files, really neat stuff happening. We once had a filmmaker whose daughter was at Rock and Roll Camp for Girls or Ethos Music Project, one of the two, and she had a band. She was young and she had a band, and the dad loved her song so much he made a music video because it was a song about bikes. So we've seen some really cool collaborations with the Independent Music Award. Again, that's also a cash prize. And then for everyone else, we also have the Audience Choice Award. So we let the audience say what their favorite film is. They get to vote all throughout the festival. They can vote online or using a voting card. And then sometime next week after the festival, we'll announce the winner. I love the Audience Choice Award because I just sit there watching the results filter in. I have no idea who's going to win. I mean, we, you know, Guthrie and I watch these films, the jury's seen them. We have our ideas of what's great, but the audience, they're the ones that really come together with some interesting choices on what they think is best. So it's fun to see that. And it's fun to give that to the audience, give them a chance to have a part of that awarding process.
And then throughout the showings, there's also a little raffle component that's part of the fundraising, correct?
Yeah, on Friday night, we have a huge speed raffle presented by Soulmate Socks. We've got $6,000 in prizes. Oh. Really, really cool prizes this year, like a mountain bike Oregon getaway weekend to go mountain biking. We've got passes to the circuit climbing gym and some really high ticket items. Every raffle prize is valued at least $100, some as much as $800. We're also raffling off a super cool cruiser bike from Detroit Bikes made here in America. And that is a bike that New Belgium Brewing put together to celebrate their 20th anniversary. They wanted a made in the USA bike, and they got together with Detroit Bikes, made this cool series of cruisers, limited edition, and they gave us one to raffle off on Friday night. It's a super cool, fun bike, so someone's going to go home with that.
That's awesome. So the one thing about Friday, you had mentioned earlier, I think, about, like, there's some rides scheduled this weekend. So, yeah. Like, if I wanted to, you know, like, do I have to bike alone to the party on Friday? Or, like, if I want to...
Yeah, we have a couple options. So on Friday, the Bicycle Transportation Alliance is kicking off their Bike More Challenge this month. So they want people to, they're encouraging people to ride more this month with the Bike More Challenge. And as part of that, they're getting a group together at 5 p.m. in the North Park blocks near the elephant statue. The group's going to meet there and they're going to wind their way towards the theater. So that's a fun group ride if you want to join in with other people.
And I'll actually be there with a filmmaker and a producer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And then on Sunday, so traditionally film festivals have a filmmaker Q&A where people sit in a room with a microphone and ask questions about the films. We'll be doing a little bit of that, but we think it's more fun to be out and active with the filmmakers asking them questions. So we started a new idea last year where we partner with Cycle Portland Bike Tours, where Guthrie works, and we take filmmakers and participants on a tour of two breweries by bike. We wind our way through the city, and along the way, it gives people a chance to get to know the filmmakers, and it gives our visiting filmmakers a chance to see Portland the best way possible, which is on a bicycle. So that's really fun. We did that last year for the first time. It was super cool. It went over well. And we're excited to be doing that again this year. We'll be going to Base Camp Brewery. They're super bike friendly there. And also Upright, which is in the Left Bank building, kind of tucked away. A really cool brewery as well. No shortage of breweries to choose from. And Guthrie helps plan and lead that ride, and it should be a lot of fun. Weather's supposed to be good all weekend long.
Yeah, it's looking great.
And is that part of the VIP pass to get that?
Yes.
To get on the ride Sunday?
Yeah, so that's all included in the VIP festival pass. People can also purchase a ticket just for the brewery ride. If you do want a VIP festival pass, it's loaded with all sorts of goodies this year. It may not always be this sweet, so I'll just rattle this off for people who are interested, because this is the year to get in on it. I just made the goodie bags last night, and they're filled with treats from Portland Design Works.
Goodie bags. Can I just say that?
This is a good
As adults, bag. We don't get enough goodie bags, like real goodie bags.
This one is so real that it contains a historic Film My Bike DVD. It contains a 50% off coupon for a t-shirt.
Which is very soft and very stylish. I wore mine yesterday.
It also contains a rear light from Portland Design Works, a set of handlebar grips from Portland Design Works, and Portland Design Works really cool bird cage water bottle holder that looks like a bird. It's mm-hmm. really beautiful. I mean, if you're going to carry a water bottle, why not make it beautiful? That's yeah. kind of how Portland Design Works approaches their bicycle accessories. So really generous pack. All those are in there with your goodie bag that you get as a VIP. You also get unlimited access to the shows and the brewery ride and that exclusive screening on Sunday. It's only $55, and it's a great way to support the festival and see it all. It's great.
And then pretty much the goodie bag alone is worth $55.
Yeah,
and so
pretty
you're
easily.
Kind of getting the movies. For
they said, Portland Design Works said, what should we put in the goodie bag? I said, I don't know, a little treat, something, and stickers. And they said, how about this, this, and this? And I said, that seems really mm-hmm. generous. And they said, well, that's what we want to do. Because they really want to be supporting the bike community. That's why they're sponsoring the VIP Festival Pass. They want to be a part of what we're doing. And the goodie bags are awesome.
So if, say, you don't have the $50, or 50?
No,
55. To do the VIP Pass, but you want to come see Adventure Night on Saturday night, or they, you know, want to catch a show after the party on Friday night, how much are just general tickets?
Tickets are $11, and it's absolutely free to get into Film by Bike if you want to volunteer with us. We run a great volunteer program. Many of our volunteers have been with us for lots of years.
And it is probably one of the most fun volunteer opportunities you can have.
Yeah, it's easy. It's fun. It's about 3 hours. It's not a huge commitment. We don't work you like a dog. We make it fun and friendly, and you get to be in the heart of the party. So you can see our website for options for volunteering. Again, that's a free way to get a ticket. If you volunteer two shifts, you get two tickets, or you can give one to a friend. And we are still looking for volunteers. So we'd love to have some more people assisting making the festival the best it can be.
Great. And we can post after the show, we'll post a link to the, you know, volunteer site and ticket site.
Great. And so, it's really easy to find it. I was looking to see what tickets were left today, and so I just Googled Film by Bike tickets, and it's the first thing that came up. So thank you, interwebs, for...
And thank you, Murmur Creative, our website design company. They are experts in search engine resulting, I'll just call that. And they did a great job to help
make
sure that we're findable.
Well, obviously, because it is like... Bam. So if you don't remember anything else, even if I think you just did Bike Films Portland, it would come up immediately. Yeah. So
there aren't a lot of us out there.
Which is what part of what makes this festival so special for our listeners out there. This doesn't happen everywhere. The people who do have it are basically buying this film collection that Film by Bike has put together from them and showing it somewhere else. So this is a really, really amazing opportunity to go out and have some fun. And it's always a good time.
And I'll just say, you know, we talked about how Film by Bike movies go all over the world. That's our bike movie night program. We are making it easy for cities to inspire their communities to ride bikes by providing this great tool in their bike advocacy toolkit. So spread the word to your friends and family who live elsewhere, or if you live elsewhere in Oregon, we'd love to have a bike movie night in your city. Get in touch with us through the website. We'll make it happen. We'll bring Film by Bike to you.
Yeah, it can happen no matter where you are. Or... we love visitors in Portland, too. So if you want to come here, there's still time. I bet you if you Google it, there's a ticket sale somewhere. Get on in here, grab an Airbnb, use your Lyft. It'll do it up Portland style.
Rent a bike.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You have been listening to the KBOO Bike Show, broadcast from Portland, Oregon, on the first Wednesday of every month. Behind us, you might notice, there's another bike film song going on. If you might have been a little while since you've seen Quicksilver, but this one's coming at us from Quicksilver. And if you're interested, we will also list the tracks that we played today on our Facebook page. Podcasts are on iTunes, and all past episodes are generously archived at bikeshow.portlandtransport.com. The Bike Show is produced by myself, Meg Keys, Alon Robb, and we would like to thank our in-studio engineer, Tammy, and our web host, Chris Smith, as well as our podcast editor, Josh Hetrick. We'll be back next month with more great bike news and views. And until then, make it a great day and keep riding your bike.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's 11:59 and 11 seconds. Let's listen to a little more Larry Coryell to take us to the top of the hour and the KBOO Noon News. Thanks for tuning in today.
This is KBOO Headline News at Noon for Wednesday, May 4th, 2016. I'm Diane Erickson.
And I'm Patrick Wilson. In local news, Portland voters might want to take a closer look at Measure 26-173 on the May ballot, a four-year, 10-cent-per-gallon city gas tax that could raise $64 million. The city plans to use the bulk of the revenue generated to cover the expenses for repairing and paving city streets, certainly a pressing need felt by many citizens and businesses.
The Register Guard is reporting that Donald Trump is expected to host a rally in Eugene Friday and is currently considering several locations. The rally is expected to start at 7 p.m.
41 Oregon workers who died